Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the Bald-Faced Truth.
Memorial Day weekend. Hope everybody has a great weekend. I gotta get rid of that Christmas tree that I found my backyard that it was left over from Christmas. Rob Mullins, the Oregon Athletic Director, joining us. You guys go to the Rose Bowl. I take the Christmas tree out in the backyard, put it on the side of the house. I just found it the other day, and I said, I probably need to get rid of that, Rob Mullins.
I think that would be a good idea. Your neighbors probably would appreciate that. I'll take down my Christmas lights this weekend, too.
Yeah. It's not. I mean, another month, I might just decide, hey, we can use it for next year. You know, just keep it around.
You will get in that neutral zone there where you'll have to make a tough call.
How's things going for you? Are you working from home? Are you getting into the office? Meetings via Zoom? How are things evolving?
Yeah, working from home. I've had to run into the office occasionally to grab something, a file or something, but very rarely. So I have been working out of a home office. Like many people, I have Zoom fatigue. But we are absolutely making it work and so proud of how our staff and student athletes have adjusted as well. Cause we've been at this for several weeks now, but everybody is still hard at work on fulfilling our mission to support our student athletes.
Your university president, Michael Schill, told me in a Q&A that I said, who's the ultimate decision maker? He pointed to Governor Kate Brown. And, you know, as a university, a public university, you are still very mindful of that. But as you begin to see other states come back to play and work and voluntary workouts, it's becoming evident to me that we're all kind of on a different timeline. How do you rectify that or manage that as an AD?
Well, I mean, we certainly are, and obviously, the local health authorities are going to guide the decision making, and I think the NCAA made that clear. So we're fortunate here, John, in that we've got a great incident management team on our own campus, who's highly coordinated with Lane County Public Health as well as the Oregon Health Authority. So we have a lot of experts that we lean on. We've got a great team doctor who's plugged in both on campus and into our county. And also we're very fortunate to have the Pac-12 Student Athlete Health and Wellbeing Medical Advisory Board with, some of the best doctors from some of the greatest institutions in the world in our own league. So, we're guided by them. And, at a time, I thought John Warner wrote well today is, we happen to be in a business where people really get hyper-focused on competitive equity. And in the short term, that's not the priority. Safety is the priority. And as we sit here on whatever it is, late May, we just have to be patient and all go at the pace that fits for where we sit in our country.
There's a lot of time left, and I keep looking at that too. And I say, all right, college football coaches, what do they need? 4 weeks, 6 weeks? There's a lot of time left, and we'll get a lot more data between now and then. But what are you looking for? What would be positive markers that you see that would tell you, hey, things are really trending in an optimistic way?
Well, obviously, we want to see fewer infections for sure. We like to see advances not only in therapeutics, but also in testing capability and a better understanding of the virus. There's a lot of smart people working on this from a lot of different angles. And as I said, we're fortunate on our own campus and in our own league to have incredible collaboration in and around this to build a set of protocols and model a bunch of plans that allow us, as the time shortens, because I happen to agree with you, we do have time, but we need to be prepared. And so we've got a lot of smart people given considerable thought and time and collaborating on, whenever that time comes to make those decisions, we'll be prepared to make them.
Those contingencies, and I'm sure some include fans in the stadium, fans not in the stadium, fans distance inside the stadium. From a revenue perspective, how impactful is it, a full Autzen Stadium, half full Autzen Stadium, empty Autzen Stadium to your budget?
big range. You know, as we've talked about before, John, and you've written about, you know, football at the University of Oregon is 75% of our revenues. So on a $120 million budget, you know, we're somewhere over $80 million that we're reliant on football. So we are modeling a range. We expect, even if we can play 12 games, which would be the goal, that there will be some impact because people don't want to go, or the economic realities of what's happened to unemployment could impact some folks. So we're modeling a range of a $12 million hit from revenue all the way up to, if you didn't play football for us, it would be over $80 million impact. So, you know, there's a wide, wide range.
It doesn't feel to me like that extreme of not playing football. You know, maybe the season gets pushed back, and maybe I'm just spitballing here, but, you know, maybe it doesn't feel to me like the season doesn't get played. Am I being too optimistic?
No, I love hearing the optimism because I share your optimism. And that is, you know, we all understand the importance of football to college athletics. We're not alone in that it is the economic driver. It's the economic driver for everybody who has football. So everybody's working hard. Again, the health and safety of the student athletes, the staff, the fans, and anybody who would be in and around a football program is the highest priority. But at the same time, you know, we're working on a set of protocols that allow us to create an event, whether, as you said, it's socially distanced or however we can execute it, that would allow us to do that in a safe manner. And that could be on a different schedule, too.
If it is a limited number of fans in the Autzen Stadium, is it a lottery? Is it just season ticket holders? Have you addressed that yet?
We haven't finalized that, but you know, that'll be a very, very difficult decision. We've got a team of folks, both from a facility standpoint, working with our ticket partners on, you know, how many tickets would we have available in a socially distanced stadium, and then, you know, how would we allocate those? That would be an extremely difficult position. You know, one of the things that's happened through all this, there's a lot of collaboration, not only in all of college athletics, but amongst all of sports. So, you know, we've got pro teams talking to college teams across sports of just best practices. How are you thinking about this? So that it can generate more conversation so that we can choose the plan that works best for us. There's going to be no perfect answer. I can assure you of that. We had an incredible renewal rate on our football season tickets, over 90%. So we're somewhere over 30,000 season tickets. If we get in a situation where we have a distant stadium and we cannot accommodate all of those, it'll be a really, really difficult decision. And we want to be thorough. We want to be thoughtful and do the best that we can to make a decision to our loyal and passionate fans.
Rob Mullins with us, University of Oregon Athletic Director. It's interesting because, you know, you're talking to people, you're looking at other sports, looking at Major League Baseball, probably looking overseas. You know, nobody wants to be the guinea pig, but in this equation, you do have the benefit of not starting till fall. How beneficial is that to be able to look at Europe and look at soccer and maybe to look at Major League Baseball if they come back and say, all right, what are they doing?
Yeah, no, it's great because that's just additional information, right? And right now, one of the things that is creating so much uncertainty and angst amongst our staff and me included is, you know, the lack of information. And things change every day. And as we can learn from our peers, whether it be NASCAR or UFC or, as you said, Major League Baseball or NHL or NBA, all that is helpful. You know, it's late May here. We've got until at least September. So, you know, with the innovative country that we live in, the number of experts that we have focused on this for the world, you know, each day, you know, brings hope.
Rob Mullins with us, Oregon Athletic Director. The budget in your department, obviously there have been pay cuts. Coaches have taken voluntary pay cuts. You have as well, and everybody's trying to do what they can to make things sustainable. If you get to a point where, you know, you have to consider cutting a sport, is that on the table at this point, or how are you working around that?
Not at this point. You know, we've taken all the interim measures, again, to get to the point where, you know, we felt was appropriate for late May. And that's, you know, we did hiring freezes. We've done a spending freeze for the current fiscal year. And on July 1, as we pivot to a new fiscal year, as you mentioned, our entire department has taken a 10% pay cut, everyone. And we've suspended performance incentives for the year as well. So, you know, and we've made some adjustments operationally, and we'll continue to make those adjustments operationally. You know, the last thing we want to do is eliminate a sport. No one wants to do that. That's an extremely difficult position to be in. You know, there probably is a scenario where we would have to consider that, but we are not focused on that scenario right now.
That's good news, I think, all the way around. Rob, as you look at the news that John Wilner reported today about the CEO group, the university presidents and chancellors voting to next week to possibly open the doors to bring students back for voluntary workouts, is that feasible in Oregon if the governor is still saying, hey, you got limitations, or does that work within the framework of what she has released, the guidelines she's released for some of the counties?
So we are at the University of Oregon. The governor's executive order has us remote learn, remote work through the end of the spring term, which at the University of Oregon is through June 13th. So the earliest we would be able to do anything is June 14th, but we're still awaiting guidance, working with our incident management team on campus, as well as of state government to determine, you know, when and how. So we're still working on those plans. We have a team that is working on the return protocols. As I mentioned, the Pac-12 student athlete health and well-being, the medical advisory board that's creating guidance for all Pac-12 schools with a bunch of medical experts is providing great guidance. We are doing all that we can to prepare for that, even though we don't have the exact date when we'll go ahead yet.
It's still, like you said, it's not going to be like a garage door opening and all of sports running out at the same time. I think it's going to be a little here, a little there as you look across. What have you missed? What have you missed as part of being physically distanced, working from home, and watching a spring sports season that just evaporated?
Well, there's a lot of things, John. I mean, obviously, you miss being at the events and the energy that come with the events from the student athletes, from the fans. But really, I just miss the daily interaction. You know, one of the great things about our profession, about what you do, about what I do, is that when we go to work every day, we typically work with people who absolutely love what they do. And there's an energy and an excitement just around being in the hallways and having that casual interaction in the hallways. And so I really, really miss that, as well as a number of other things.
I watched the Michael Jordan Last Dance documentary. You watch it?
Every single minute.
What'd you think?
I loved it. I thought it was awesome. It's been interesting to read and hear the post completion critiques as well, but I really enjoyed it.
I thought, you know, I think he's the greatest player who's ever played, but I also forgot how good he was, you know, and to see it all again, I was like, oh man, he was so good.
Yeah, I had the exact same reaction. And then just to kind of go behind the curtain, you know, I was just so struck when B.J. Armstrong talked about the evolution of his career. You know, early on it was his play. He would dominate games. And then towards the end it wasn't just his play, but it was the psychology and how he pushed and pulled and aligned his teammates on this ultimate goal. And, you know, it was trophy or bust for them. And he was just the ultimate at pushing with his own competitive fire to get people to this place that maybe they didn't think they could go.
Students on campus, athletes back to campus. I know we all want to see that stuff, but you know, I get why people want to be cautious. I get why the governor's being cautious as well, but I still feel like we don't know what's going to happen. And I've never experienced anything like this. I doubt you have either, but I think you guys have done a really good job. And I think Oregon State's done a good job of trying to engage your season ticket holders, your donors, your student athletes, and make good decisions. How hard has that been for you to be in the middle of something? It's a big question mark.
It is a big question mark, and there's no playbook. And as I said earlier, you know, there's, you know, when you're on a Zoom with your entire staff and everybody's looking at you saying, you know, tell me what's going to happen. And there are more questions than answers. And there's this incredible stress and anxiety because of the unknown. The best that we can do is, and what we've tried to do is be very open, very transparent, say what we know, talk about the plans that we're building, the protocols that we're building, and just really lean on our principles, lean on our culture, and really lean on one another, even though it's through Zoom, is that's the best we can do right now. You know, in our business and competition, you usually know where the finish line is. And if you know where the finish line is, you can build the steps to help you get to the finish line the way you want to get there. In this scenario, we continue to build the steps day by day, but we're not quite clear on where the finish line is. But we'll just keep building day by day, and hopefully the fog will clear, and we'll be able to see, a clear path to a finish line where we all can celebrate and accelerate out of this.
This Ohio State game, much anticipated. Fans are excited. Media is excited. I know Coach Cristobal is excited in football. But if there's not an ability to play it in Oregon, but the governor of Ohio is saying, hey, it's on the table, is that a flip-flop that you'd be open to, or is that a premature discussion?
I think it's a premature discussion. I mean, our focus right now is, obviously safety, but also finding a way to play 12 games. We would love to have that game in Autzen Stadium. I would be surprised if Ohio State wanted to flip it because, they could potentially be hosting a game where they would be taking a revenue hit. Whereas the way it's scheduled now, they could be able to have a game when they can get a full hit from revenue. So, we're not thinking down that path. I am a person who believes that we should stay flexible and look at all opportunities until we have to, make a decision. You know, our hope right now is that it's 12 games, Ohio State's in Autzen Stadium, and that's our planning.
I like that. All right. Stay safe. I appreciate you making time. I know you're busy, and wish you the best. What are you doing this weekend? Give us something that you're going to do that none of us are going to do.
I don't know that I would have any. I'm a pretty boring person anyway. But one of the things that has been a real positive out of this is that I have been able to carve out some time to go for a walk with my wife just about every day. And that's been some really helpful time for me because, I can lean on her wisdom, her incredible support, and it's just a chance to exhale in some fresh air.
There you go. Stay at it. Keep that after this is over. You know, I have some of those things, too. I've seen a lot of my kids, and I'm going, you know what? I kind of like that part.
Yeah, there is that part of, we carved out Last Dance was appointment TV for us as a family. and we don't really have those kind of moments when we're in the race. But that was kind of a nice moment. And hopefully we can keep some of these things that we've been forced into through this.
All right. Rob Mullins, I appreciate you. Thanks for making time.
Thanks for having me, John. Appreciate all you do.
All right. There's University of Oregon Athletic Director Rob Mullins. I want your phone calls now. You heard Mullins. He's got a plan potentially for every contingency. Also, look, the idea that, we all chase this mythical level playing field. Let's be real about it. The Southeastern Conference, the SEC, and the Pac-12, and the Big Ten, the Power Five conferences, let's just blanket that. There is not a true level playing field that exists in there. It's a myth. Right? The SEC schools don't play the same number of in-conference games that the Pac-12 plays, for example. So it's not truly a level playing field. We're not talking apples to apples. Well, we might be talking apples to apples, but it's a different variety of apple. Like, it might be that there's a Golden Delicious that the Pac-12 is playing, and, it might just be a different variety of apples, but when you look at the Southeastern Conference, maybe it's more of a Fuji apple, or maybe it's a Red Delicious in the SEC, or maybe it's an Empire apple in the Big 12 Conference. There are different apples, right? The SEC universities are receiving more money in their television deal than the Pac-12. That's not a level playing field. They are playing a different number of conference games. That's not a level playing field. I've heard a lot of squawking in the last 24 hours about, hey, the SEC universities are going to be opening up their campuses for voluntary workouts. Let's go, Pac-12. I think it's not going to be a level playing field. And even within the Pac-12 conference, you're going to see Utah, Colorado, Arizona, probably back on campus long before Oregon or California universities are back on campus. That's not fair. It's not level. But it is what it is. 503-417-7575. I want you to weigh in. I'm going to take the silver lining this week. We had Scott Barnes, the Oregon State Athletic Director, and Rob Mullins, the Oregon Athletic Director, both on the show. Both of those guys, I think, spinning a little bit of a hopeful narrative. And I think you have to do that if you're in that position because, I mean, Rob Mullins, that was authentic. That was real. I mean, he talked real bottom line numbers, said worst case scenario, last resort to cut a sport. Would hate to have to do that, not considering that at this point. That's good news. He said June 14th is probably the soonest that they can get athletes back on campus per the governor's orders that students are not allowed on campus through June 13th. Also pointed out that, look, revenue, here's the reality. You know, 80% of the revenue, 75-80% of the revenue at Oregon is tied to football. And if you can't have fans at Autzen Stadium, it's about a $12 million hit to the bottom line. And if you can't have a football season, it's about an $80 million hit. I thought Rob Mullins was really good. I think he was hopeful. I'm hopeful. I want to hear from you at 503-417-7575. Eric's in Lake Oswego. Eric, go ahead.
Putting aside the financial concerns and so forth, to give you a pure competition, I think that the perceived lack of fairness adds an interesting wrinkle because from an athlete's point of view, it's like, okay, we didn't get the same chance that you did, hence we're far more motivated because we're still going to kick your butt. Even with less training. And I understand that these are fine-tuned machines, et cetera. But I think from an athlete's point of view, I think we should talk about how this kind of adds an interesting wrinkle to the competition.
Yeah, I think the bottom line is they're not on a level playing field in the Pac-12. Not with revenue, not with the number of conference games played, and frankly, not with the number of fans in the stadium, not with the revenue generated by the programs, period, end of story. And so when you talk about getting athletes back on campus, like it's some kind of huge disadvantage that they're not on campus right now. Oh, the SEC's back on campus. I've heard a lot of people bellyaching about that. Bottom line is, man, this is what the Pac-12 is. It's behind the curve. They're doing what they can do to get back to campus, but nobody in a Pac-12 fan base is going to throw a Molotov cocktail through, like, you know, somebody's window to try to get people back on campus. It's not what Pac-12 fans do. They're just not rabid in that way. They're not SEC crazy. They're not, you know, unhinged. And look, if we can address that in a vacuum, you know, bottom line, Rick Neuheisel sang a song about it.
Born in the SEC, they were born in the SEC. Don't make them think about it logically. They were born in the SEC, yeah.
Bottom line, they're wired differently. And I made fun of Alabama. I made fun of the Alabama fans this week. And we talked about how unhinged they are. But part of the reality for the Pac-12 is that you as a Pac-12 fan, you've got a little more levity in you. Okay? You're not. And Rob Mullins hit on it. He says, all right, even if the stadium's back open, will all the fans want to be in the stadium? That's not a question that Alabama's athletic director is dealing with. Alabama's athletic director is dealing with, all right, the rest of the world thinks we're football crazy. How do we squash the perception that we will play football against the health of our state? And that's why Nick Saban and the mascot put out that video this week. Oh, social distancing. Look at us. We're being so responsible. It's a little PR. They've got to play that game, and rightfully so. But my point is that the Pac-12 student athletes, or let's just call them athletes, not being back on campus is the least of your worries when it comes to competitive disadvantage. Not being on campus? How about the lack of revenue? How about the smaller stadiums? How about the fact that you play one more conference game against each other versus, you know, the SEC, for example? Those are bigger competitive advantages for the SEC.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced
Truth. Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.